our awesome podcast with Holly and Adam and maybe a guest. We talk about things, we talk about stuff. We talk until we've had enough. Listen to our awesome podcast. All you have to do is not turn it off. The Adam and Holly are awesome podcast.
It's awesome.
The Adam and Holly are awesome podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Adam and Holly are awesome podcast.
Uh-huh.
I'm Adam.
I'm Holly.
We're awesome.
We're recording this during the daylight.
It's like daytime out.
Well, it's 6:30 p.m. But
well, it's summer, so it's
usually
daytime.
Usually we record this at like 9, so we're going early today.
Mm-hmm. We're going for a walk later, and you're making bread currently.
Yeah,
but we have to wait for the bread to
and
rise
also,
before
yeah,
we can cook it.
We're watching the Super Mario Brothers movie.
We're halfway through it.
It's so bad.
It's the worst.
It's really, really bad.
So it came out in 1993.
Uh-huh.
So that means I was 14 when I saw it,
uh-huh,
and I went to the theater to see it, and
uh-huh,
it was bad when I saw it the first time.
Do you think that you would have liked it if you were like 9? Or do you think it still would have been really bad?
I think it's just
really, I mean, it is bad.
It's really, really bad. But I'm interested to find out what happens, because I don't remember
you
any
You don't remember
of it.
The plot?
I remember there's Goombas, and
yeah,
they're like
so
big
what,
with little tiny heads.
Here's what the plot is. Some guy wants a meteorite. That's pretty much it.
It's Dennis Hopper.
He wants to merge some worlds together?
Uh-huh.
That's all I got. I don't understand what the movie is. Yeah, Dennis Hopper's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Haskins is in it.
Luigi is in it.
What's his
Daisy.
Face? What's
John Leguizamo.
Some lady. A different lady.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys.
Fisher Stevens is in it.
Which one is that?
He's the one of the two guys.
Which one is he? Is he the one who looks like,
he was on, oh.
That doesn't help me.
Okay, what does he look
the,
like?
That one guy. The guy who's the famous one from the new Kylo Ren. That guy.
No.
He's the other
one?
The
other guy.
Okay.
And he
one
yeah,
of them looks a little like Kylo Ren.
He,
I don't remember
he's
his
not
name.
As weird looking, though.
He's not.
Yeah.
But he's like he could be his dad.
Yeah, okay. But
what's his name? I'm dying.
Who?
Kylo Ren.
Adam Driver.
Thank you.
But it's
this
not
was
Adam
your whole purpose
this
in life.
This is a different
it's
guy.
Yeah, obviously it's not Adam Driver. Adam Driver would have been like 5.
He was in Girls. Which
he was.
Good
actually, I think Adam Driver might be my age or younger. Mm-hmm. So he would have been like 4. Because okay. I was 4.
Right. We didn't even get to Yoshi
Alexa.
Yet. Yoshi's in the movie.
Alexa, how old is Adam Driver?
Adam Driver is 33 years
oh.
old.
He's older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So he would have been like 8.
So do we want to talk about what happened
9.
In our week?
Sure, what happened this week?
What did we do?
Nothing really during the week.
We watched Super Mario Brothers movie.
That was very recently. We're not even finished
We
yet.
Tried to watch High Tension, but it was in French.
It was in French. We don't speak French.
There was
could
no
have
subtitles.
Still watched it. Probably would have missed some of the nuance.
Yeah, there isn't. We don't.
We started watching The Golden Girls.
We did. Doodle doo doo.
Thank you for being a friend.
Yeah.
We watched like 2 episodes, maybe 3.
We had our game night yesterday.
We're just working backwards, right?
Yeah, we're working backwards
we
for the week.
We had game night.
Robert came over and we played, played some magic.
We were going to play Risk Legacy, but then our 4th couldn't make it yesterday. And
it's the first day.
It doesn't seem like you should start that game without everybody who's going to play it.
Yeah,
so
we had 3 out of the 4, so we're waiting until next week.
Yeah, so you guys played magic and then you played Power Grid, which Robert did not seem to be that into.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's
yeah.
complicated and like when you first play it. And then we played Tales of the Arabian Nights, which was great.
Which is everybody
it's
loves it
great.
Every time.
Yeah, nobody ever is like, nobody ever hates that game.
Yeah.
There's probably people who are indifferent to it,
yeah.
but it's...
Well, it's just because you're telling a story and nobody's trying
yeah.
to win.
No, there's no, I mean, you can technically win, but like, you have very little control
yeah.
over your winning.
It's the least strategy game.
Yeah. It's more just, it's more like D&D where there's no winning, it's just about telling a story.
Mm.
Which, Some people approach D&D with, like, a trying to win thing, but speaking of D&D...
Be aggressive.
We found out that there was a PaizoCon.
Oh, I was going to say a different thing about speaking about D&D.
Yeah, what were you going to say?
I was thinking about making a D&D magic set.
Oh.
Because I made a gelatinous cube card.
Isn't that just magic, though?
No, I mean...
Like, a lot of magic stuff's pulled from that sort of lore.
I know, but I want to make it, like...
Very specific.
Yeah, like Blink Dogs and Beholders and stuff like that.
Could you make it based off of, like, one of the old, like one of the old modules? Like, one of the old famous modules or something like that? That'd be cool.
I just want to have, like the staple, like, the core set of it is just going to have Gelatinous Cube, Displacer Beast, Blink Dog, Beholder, Red Dragon.
Rust Monsters.
Rust Monsters, yeah. And Fireball.
It was, Yeah, Gelatinous Cube. What's the one that stays on the ceiling and it falls on you? There's one that's like a huge thing on the ceiling and it falls on you.
Oh, like a big stalactite thing?
No. It's like a blanket on the ceiling and it falls on you. I think a guest fell under it once. Hold on. I'll find out.
I think we got attacked by a blanket once. By a rug.
You got attacked by a carpet.
But anyway, they had PaizoCon, which isn't D&D. It's Pathfinder.
Yeah, I didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really why we knew about it.
Yeah, we knew about it because we got,
We went and played Magic.
We went and played Magic with, Spencer Crittenden from, I guess, from Harmontown.
Yeah, Spencer Crittenden from Life.
From,
Twitter and Harmontown and HarmonQuest and all the other junk he's been on.
Great Minds. Dan Harmon.
Yeah. Great Minds was good.
But yeah, he's Dan Harmon's assistant and, just Dungeon Master.
Okay. I have Googled Dungeons and Dragons Monster Ceiling.
Okay.
And Lurker is what I was looking for. It's a manta ray that clings to the ceiling. The second article here is the 12 most obnoxious Dungeons and Dragons monsters. We're going to go through this right now.
Okay. Top three.
Number one. What do you think? I don't know if these are ranked as like
most
worst
obnoxious.
Worst to best or whatever. But yeah, most obnoxious. I think they're just in random order. What would your number
Black
one
pudding.
Be? No. Rust monsters. Because they just ruin your shit.
They do.
And you can't get it back.
Yeah, I know what the Rust Monster does. It's a 1/2 creature, right? Because they're just dumb.
Yeah.
It's like 2 mana, and then whenever it blocks a creature or deals combat damage to a creature, it destroys equipment.
Yeah.
Because it has to.
It does. So the first phrase in it, because this is like a whole on article, right?
Yeah.
Is that there's a lot of creatures from our most memorable D&D monsters list here. This is not a coincidence. This is because people tend to remember the monsters that completely screwed them over better than monsters that didn't.
Yeah, Rust monsters. Whenever you see one, you just run away.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to hurt you, but they're just going to destroy everything you own.
All right, number two, shadows. Any adventuring party with decent experience and a major priest probably won't have too much trouble against a shadow, which is, wait for it, a shadow that can hurt you.
Remember when we fought shadows?
No.
You ran the adventure.
Listen, I didn't know what I was doing 2/3 of the time in that. I was just flying by whatever I could come up with at the time.
There were shadows.
Yeah, I think they were in the module. 3 and 4, lurkers and trappers.
What's a trapper?
I don't know. I'm about to find out. Oh, it's a floor. It's a floor version
like
of
a rug.
Lurker.
A rug that grabs you.
The lurker was a giant manta ray that clung to the ceiling and dropped on adventurers. Those are fucking awful because nobody
Mimics.
Ever looks at the ceiling.
Mimics
I
are the
I think that's
worst.
The next thing on the list.
Mimics are the worst.
The trapper waits until someone walks over it and then wraps up its victims.
Like the rug.
Yeah. Yeah, but like, I don't know. I think mimics are okay because you still have a choice usually not to touch the thing.
Unless it's a door.
Who is ever looking at the ceiling? Nobody ever looks at the ceiling. And if you're, as a character, are constantly looking at the ceiling, you better have a damn good reason for me as a DM to believe you're constantly looking at the ceiling and not just metagaming looking for lurkers.
Uh-huh.
Because most people don't ever look at the ceiling.
Invisible stalkers are cool.
I'm not there yet. Number 5, mimics.
Well, excuse me.
Yeah, mimics are fine if they're like a treasure chest or something, but they're really annoying if they're like a door.
Then you put
like
your hand on it.
Yeah,
and
like
your hand
you guys had
eaten.
To fight a door that was a mimic. And it was awful. Because you can't, because it like sucks in your weapons and like immobilizes you and it's.
And then it eats you.
Yeah. Well, also it can hit you. It can just like sprout a leg and just hit you.
A pseudopod or whatever.
Yeah. Number 6, I don't know about this one, House Hunters.
I've seen that
show. House Hunters are a special breed of mimic that basically disguise themselves as buildings.
Oh, so it's like the house in Dark Tower.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. I guess so. Try having an entire room try to eat you, and then realizing all the rooms around you also want to eat you too.
So the Dark Tower movie, there's, I don't know if we talked about it yet, but I'm bracing myself for it
because yeah, I know be not good.
I'm not saying it's not going to be good. I'm going to say it's not going to be at all anywhere close to the same.
No, it's not going to be what you want. My guess is that it's going to be what World War Z the movie was to World War Z the book.
No.
No?
No. No, I think it's going to take everything from the 7 books of the Dark Tower and squish it into one movie and change stuff around.
Oh, you think they'll actually keep the plot elements then?
Some of them.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
I think it's going to be...
I mean, it does look like from the trailer like they're going to keep some of them.
Right. I think it's going to be parts of a lot of different books. Like, they're going to cut out...
None of them are...
I think it's going to be book 1, 3, and 5. 1, 3, 6, and 7 mixed together.
Yeah, I think the problem is that they're probably not going to explore any one thing fully enough to make it worth it.
Right, right.
But, I don't know.
But you can get the basic plot of The Dark Tower if you skip, like, Eddie and Susanna.
Yeah. Just skip them entirely.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you just do Jake.
I don't know, because I haven't finished it.
Well, I mean...
I don't know that Eddie and Susanna aren't important, but thank you for telling me that.
No, but I mean, they are, but you can get the gist of it without them.
Can you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Because it's Roland going to the tower, right? That's the story.
Yeah, but he's going with them, and how do I know that they're not important?
They are important.
You just told me you could do it without them.
Right. You'd have to move some things around.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, you can't do it without Roland. So, the saying that you can do it without them tells me that they're less important. And that's not a fact that I knew before.
That's not what I mean. What? Okay.
I know it's not what you mean, but it's what you said.
So look at, like, 11-22-63, right?
Yeah.
You saw the show.
Yeah.
In the book, it's just the one guy. Like, he doesn't have Billy with him. Because in the show, you need to have somebody to talk to, or else it's just James Franco talking to the camera. You know what I mean?
Okay, but what you're talking about is adding a character.
Right.
But what for Darkseid you're talking about is deleting a character, which is completely
different. Deleting a bunch of characters.
No, but that's what I'm saying is, like, in the plot of the book, I don't know they're not important.
I mean,
I'm just saying.
They are
important. You can just stop telling me how the books are.
Oh, my God. No, I'm just saying that the main... The from the beginning of the Dark Tower, it's Roland goes to the Dark Tower.
Right.
That's it. Everything else is arbitrary.
But how do I know that?
Because it says it.
I don't know that.
It says it.
No, it doesn't.
He's like, that's his goal, is to get to the Dark Tower.
Yeah, I understand that. But how do I know there's not some sort of fate situation with these other people? They had to be there for this to happen.
Right.
I don't know that. Except that you just told me.
Well, they do. There is. There's a lot of stuff that they need to be
there
for.
But clearly they can work without them.
Right, because you just... Take that bit out. You don't mention it in the movie, the stuff that they need to be there for.
Okay, that's fair.
Like, you don't need to have a pink train, you know? It doesn't need to be
there.
No.
It's I know not, that you think that.
It's not central to the story.
I don't know that! Stop telling me things! I don't know that it's not...
It's
for all I know, the pink train could be the Dark Tower in disguise. Like, I don't know. I don't know these things.
Okay, well, I'm not telling you, I'm telling everybody else.
Okay, well, maybe they don't want to hear it either.
I'm just saying that there's a very... It could be as short as they need it to be.
Right. Well, yeah, as short as they need it to be, you could just, like, Roland wakes up and he's in the Dark Tower.
Right.
But like...
there's... Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that I'm...
I mean, if they're willing to rewrite the story completely, anything could be anything.
I'm bracing myself for it because I know that it's going to be a lot different.
Yeah, it will
because
be.
Of the fact that they're going to take a bunch of stuff out.
Yeah, for sure. They're going to have to figure out ways
mix
to
mix it around.
I mean, they did that with Game of Thrones, though, too. They combined entire characters together
sure,
to be other people.
Except they had 7 seasons to do
yeah.
5 books.
Yeah. Yep. Well, no, they had 7 seasons to do 7 books, wasn't it?
Well, no. Well,
they're faking the last two.
There was 2 seasons that were 1 book.
Oh, were there?
Yeah.
I don't know. I stopped watching and I never read the books, so
yeah,
I'm highly uninformed.
So yeah, they're just... But the cool thing about this is like, we'll go to Game of Thrones now. With Game of Thrones, the cool thing is that since the people on TV are doing something entirely different than what the books are going to be,
mm-hmm.
then it's just a whole different thing. It's like the Douglas Adams Hitchhiker's Guide like radio drama.
Mm-hmm.
It's an entirely different thing. Like at a certain point, it branches off and then it's its own thing.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
I never listened to it.
Yeah. I didn't either, but I know it exists because the British really love their radio dramas.
They do. Number 7 on the list is D&D Monsters.
Oh, we're
awful.
Going back to that. I forgot.
Gas Spores. I only know about those from Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance. They're the ones that you hit and then they explode up. And then
There was a room with a bunch of traps. We played it in Ragnar's campaign. There was a room with those.
That's probably true. I don't remember anything about his campaign.
I think we just set it on fire and then left.
I think we tried to play Keep of the Borderlands, but it didn't really work.
No, it worked.
We cheated it a little bit.
I thought our plan went well.
Yeah. It shouldn't have worked, though. None of that should have worked. We were playing, like, godlike characters at level one, so...
I think it worked out pretty well.
Number 8. Aurumvorax?
Aurumvorax.
Aurumvorax.
That's what I call it.
It's something about gold. I don't know what Vorax is.
Eater? Gold eater? I don't remember what an Aurumvorax is.
Oh, yeah, they just eat your gold. That's awful. That's super awful. It's
like
a
gold eater.
It's like a bag. Oh no, wait, that's a bag of devouring.
That is
number 9, bag
just,
of devouring. You put
your
stuff
your
in it and it just eats it.
Yeah. It's like a bag of holding, but the bad one.
And if you detect magic on it, if you already think it's a bag of holding, you're just gonna still detect that it's magic and you'll be like, well, it's magic.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's terrible.
Who would make a bag of devouring? Like, what wizard is just like, ha ha?
Some asshole.
You just like,
playing a prank on his brother.
Right,
like,
but it's the same magic.
Getting back at his ex-girlfriend.
It's like the same, it's probably the same spell, but just like a different version of it. It's like same level. Like to make a bag of holding and sell it, you can make a ton of money.
Yeah.
But you're just going to, you just make a bag of devouring instead because it's funny.
Yeah, and what kind of DM puts a bag of devouring in? Like a really mean one, right?
Like, I'm gonna keep my...
You either have to put it in so early in the game that they haven't really accrued anything yet, or so late that if they lose something, they have other stuff.
Right, but they're gonna put all their stuff in there.
Well, you can only fit so much in a bag of holding.
Right, but this one, it's like, you just... Yeah, just, it keeps going in. Ugh. How much can it fit? I don't know. How much are you
gonna
put
it
in
it? That's the thing. It would start to get suspicious once it fits more than a bag of holding
But
fits.
You don't know how much a bag of holding fits.
Yeah, people know how much a bag of holding fits.
Their characters don't.
They might.
They might, but they don't always. Not everybody always knows how much it fits.
That's true. I know.
I don't.
10 through 12.
I would
12.
Just put you in it until it stopped holding shit.
Whites, vampires, and succubi. They all trick you.
Oh.
They all trick you into doing something or trick you into being something. Or...
Yeah. Do they put like a geas on you? You know what the worst monster is? High level wizards, because they're the worst. Because they just be invisible and then kill you without you seeing them.
Yeah. It's not, like, fair, though.
All these are not fair.
Yeah, but as a DM, you can build fairness in.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool monsters.
What players don't want is to just be shit on all the time by the DM, right? Like, for a minute, it might be fun to be like, oh, no, everything. But after a while, you're like, oh, cool, we can't...
Oh, no, an illithid ate your brain.
We can't get anything done at all. Like, there's a balance. Right. And at the same time, you don't want to always be successful in what you do. I've had DMs where, like, everything you do works every time, or it's going to work regardless of how you do it, and that's not really fun. Because it doesn't feel like you affect the game at all, because the fundamental, like, premise of D&D, or any role-playing game, is that everyone's telling the story collaboratively as you go.
Right.
And if you already know where the story is going to go, and there's no wiggle room for that, it's not fun. That's not the point, you know? Like.
Well, sure. I mean, I get you, but there's also different sorts of
campaigns,
too.
Within constraints, sure. Like, obviously, there's going to be usually an overarching story that ends up happening, but but when everything you do just works so that the story can work, that's not, and sometimes you just miss the story entirely, or you miss the plot entirely as a player. You're like, were we supposed to do something? Like, yeah, like 6 months ago, you were supposed to take a left at that branch and go into a grove that you didn't go in, and now we're on a completely different campaign.
Right, right.
Like, I don't know.
Right. No, I get you, but like, there's different ways you can do it. Like, if you're, as a DM, it's up to you to decide how you want the campaign to go. Like, you guide the people to where they gotta go. I mean, if they choose to go some other way, that's fine, but
right,
you
but
have to guide
the
them the right way.
Like, I've played in campaigns, the first two campaigns I played in, I never really felt, one, like, anything ever went wrong, and two, like, any of our choices meant anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our choices, no matter what we chose, always led us to the same place.
Mm.
And that like, what was the point? It's just the illusion of choice at that point. It becomes really obvious when nothing bad ever happens to anybody and you never miss the guy you were trying to catch, or you never, you know?
Right.
Like, and no matter what, you mess dies. Up. Like, for example, in one of my campaigns, we spent, like, a month on a boat, and we all had to, like, make these rolls for, like, pulling ropes and cleaning up and steering the ship and stuff, and, like, we made it there just as the other guy was getting there. You know, like, come on. Mm. There's no way that our roles affected it exactly like that.
Right, but it's still, you're trying to build a narrative.
Yeah, but it wasn't a narrative. It was just, like, go around the table and, like, roll to see if you pull ropes. Like, it didn't mean anything.
I mean, that's bullshit,
awful.
But I mean, getting there at the same time as the other person is building a narrative. I mean, the other bullshit in the middle is
right,
whatever,
but like, the idea was that we felt like we were somehow affecting how fast the boat would go, right? If we were, if our roles were really good, and they were, we should have gotten there ahead of the other guy, mm-hmm. right? Or if they were bad, we should have gotten there after the other guy and had to deal with the consequences of that.
Sure.
But I don't think they actually meant anything at all. I really don't.
Okay.
That's all. Sorry, I have very strong feelings about shitty D&D campaigns.
Just arbitrary rolling dice.
I think that, so my first two experiences with D&D were very on rails. My third experience with D&D was with a DM who had been playing for like 20 or 30 years.
Okay.
And he had built his own world that entire time. Mm. So he had everything mapped down to,
so
like,
all the cities and everything.
All the cities, anywhere you could possibly go on his giant map. Every city had all, like, the people in it.
Characters and stuff.
Yeah. And, like, that's a way more fun thing to do. Obviously, it's way more work on the DM side, but it's more fun because it kind of feels like no matter what you do, there's something to do, right? And there was, like, an overarching, like, there was a blackness creeping into the...
Yeah, there's a bad guy, but you can deal with that whenever...
Yeah, and it's like... You don't always feel the immediate need to, like, approach the biggest, baddest guy. Like, there's always other stuff to do, right? Mm-hmm. That's cool. That would be really fun. But that's a lot of time and energy and world building that you have to want to
do. And it's up to the DM to do that. Yeah. And a lot of that stuff they do behind the scenes. And a lot of it they do while they're playing with other people. Yeah. So, like, I know with us, when we were playing the big campaign we had forever with my friend Jason, who was a DM, he just had his own world that was... just everything. Like, every city had stuff in it. It was populated with people. All the old characters from the other campaigns that he had.
That's cool.
Retired and lived,
like,
in the
lived
cities.
There.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, like, we would play, like, we played a couple different campaigns. So we would go there and see our old characters doing their retired
doing
stuff.
Doing whatever they were going to do as,
like,
retired people.
The one guy was the king, you know, and that's cool. So.
That is cool. I like that. I've never played in a campaign long enough for that. I think that we would have... If we'd stayed in Grand Forks, I think we would have gotten to that point with our campaign. Mm. Because I'd gone off the books at that point and just started making shit up. Although I wasn't just making it up. Like, there's a lot of resources online for DMs. Like, you don't have to make anything up if you don't want to, and you're willing to pay a couple bucks.
Right, and also it's always just a guideline, too. So, like, it's a good framework, and then you put your own shit in
there. Well, yeah, that's what I was doing. Like, I took... There was, like, a map of a city, and then, like, a cave system... And then I invented why you were in those places, right? Mm-hmm. It was a little bit on rails. I stuck you on a pirate ship, but...
Sure, but that was fun. Like,
yeah, but you could have killed the pirates and, like, taken
instead,
the ship for yourself, but
we
you
got
didn't.
To do the dating game.
Yeah. But, like, I would have been okay with it if you
So if you want to hear
everybody.
The dating game episode, it was...
It's a little bit not safe for work at all.
Well, who listens to these out loud at work?
Nobody listens to these at all, so...
Exactly. So if you want to listen to the dating, is it a dating game?
Yeah, it's Valentine's Day.
I think it was last year.
2016.
Because, that was, we were,
I don't remember what it was called. It might have just been called the dating game. But it was the recorded version of our D&D session that day. That was fun. I want to play D&D again here.
It was a special Valentine episode. Yeah. They have it every... like every week at Card Kingdom.
Yeah, I don't
or
know.
At Ed Mock's boarding house.
I don't know. What day is it, though?
The day that I work till 9?
Yeah, so.
It's Wednesday.
It's not really going to work out, is it?
Well,
also, like, I want to be in an ongoing campaign. Like, I know they do a lot of one shots in that sort of situation.
Right, but it's a good way to get to know people.
Yeah, I guess that's how you meet people who play. I don't know. I kind of want to DM again, but I wasn't very good at it. I know you felt like I was, but I wasn't.
I thought you were.
But I want to do it. It's just, it's a lot of upfront work that I didn't really have the energy or time to do at the time. I probably do now.
Mm-hmm. You were, like, the second best DM I ever had.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Is it a really low bar? How many DMs have you had? Three?
Like six.
Like six? Yeah. Oh, that's pretty good.
Because we had, when Jason moved to Lancaster, then we had other people in the group do it.
Oh, okay.
And they were okay.
Well, yeah, if you haven't done it. Like, I was pretty bad at first. Everybody's bad at first. I'm still pretty bad, but I'm better than I was. It's really hard because you don't realize as a you kind of realize as a player how much there is to keep track of, but as a DM, like, there's a lot of shit you have to keep track of. Mm-hmm. And you have to be ready for a player to do literally anything. You have to be able to react to somebody doing anything. Now, you guys tended to act pretty predictably in that you didn't really do anything at all, which was its own problem because I had to try to keep the game interesting when you were just like, we're just going to sleep for the night.
Well, what else do... We're rational people.
I know.
None of us were, like, out there, like...
No, not
there
really.
There wasn't, like, a chaotic person who just wants to go, like... Give the sleeping goblins wet willies.
Those are annoying for different reasons because they tend to clash with party goals.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to have some sort of cohesive party goal, otherwise no one's going to get anything done.
Yeah, I'd rather have a boring group than one where there's like one person who's just
one person
way
who
out
wants
there.
To be so random. Yeah. We had one of those. I've had one of those in a couple of campaigns.
Yeah,
it's
they're the worst. If you're the person who likes to be random, D&D campaign.
Go play in someone else's campaign.
Yeah. Don't play with us.
Because
that's the worst.
Unless you can keep it in check.
Yeah.
And make it make sense.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, I also don't like min-maxers. Yeah. Don't min-max your character.
Well,
that's not the point.
Okay, I'll give you an example. We had a character who was a chaos wizard. Uh-huh. He had like a 4 constitution. So he only ever had, like, 4 hit...
So he had to be careful with this chaos.
He didn't...
See, that's fine.
He never...
You can't be that reckless
when
you're on the brink of death.
He never had more than 10 hit points ever in the campaign. But he
that's
just...
That's like a constitution of 4 is like...
He was
that's
so...
That's like...
He was like 70 years old.
Active AIDS level.
Yeah, he was just like, just a frail really old man. And he's like, all right, I'm gonna blow it up. And then he'd go like this.
He'd rub his hands together.
And then he'd go...
And then he didn't die most of the
time. And then
the
DM would tell him what would happen.
When he just like put his hands out and he didn't know what was going to come.
Yeah, he's a chaos wizard. Who knows?
Sure.
But that was always
fun.
That's
not so bad. Yeah, I don't like a min-maxer. The one DM that I played with, I did the thing where you can only level up in anything you used. Like your skills or whatever.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You can only level up on something you used or that you could like argue you had built skills
like the
towards gaining.
Oblivion style.
Yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that limitation. Or, like, I mean, obviously, if you're gaining a new feat or a new skill or whatever, if you make an argument where, like, why you would know this or why you would have learned this, and
Or make it part of the story. Like, if you meet a character who's, so in the Adventure Zone, right?
Yeah.
One of the characters wants to, like, dual class.
Yeah.
So one of the people they know is, like, a thief. And then he's like, well, I want to go train with that person to learn how to do that. So
but,
then when
yeah,
they had
like,
downtime,
that counts as a reason that you would know it. You don't just, like, you're in a cave or whatever and you level up because you slept and suddenly you know how to blind fight. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So I, like, it kind of sucks. Like, it's limiting as a character. But it also, I think, makes you grow your character in different ways that you wouldn't necessarily... Like
makes it more organic.
Yeah, it makes it more organic, and it makes it actually more character-based rather than stats-based, where it's really hard to, like, have a character who feels like a person, like a real person, or a real gnome, or whatever they are. Gnomes people?
Yeah.
Is that a separate question?
Gnomes are people, too.
Gnomes are people, too.
Yeah, so,
that's really hard to do.
I have an idea for a top three.
You do?
Top three D&D characters you made. Role-playing game characters. Doesn't need to be D&D.
I'm trying to think. I think I only had, like, 4.
Well, there you go. It's an easy list, then.
I don't know if I have a favorite.
Let me think of my list.
Sure. You've had much more interesting ones than I have. I haven't really had interesting
ones. I got my 3.
Go for it.
Okay. Number 3
uh-huh.
would be Chase Vandal.
Mm-hmm.
He was a blade, which is, like, a bard subclass where he, like, juggles knives and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
His defining characteristic was that he was a coward and he would never fight.
Oh,
so
I had one of those.
He would always run away and hide in trees.
Yeah,
but,
I had one of those, but the party always get mad at me. They're like, why aren't you fighting?
Well,
like,
I mean, that's the fun of it, though. But so
it wasn't. They were just mean.
Yeah, well, your party was jerks. they didn't understand.
No, they were just 15 years older than me.
Right, right. So his thing was that he had followers that would write his... I messed it up. He would write his memoirs.
Okay.
And show how he was the hero of the battle. All the
time. He just rewrote it. So, just retconned real life.
No, he just wrote it. Like when he was hiding, he would write about
like,
how he,
about how great he was,
about the monster he was fighting, how he dispatched it, and then he would publish those. So he was like an author that everybody knew.
They're so. Like, he's so amazing. But he's writing it.
Yeah.
That's great. That's a great character. I didn't have anything like any of that. I've had very, very boring characters.
Yeah, but he did save the day once.
Yeah.
With glitter dust.
Oh.
There was a displacer beast and glitter dust.
I also don't remember any of the D&D characters, or like I haven't really done anything memorable ever. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know if I have a top, like an interesting top three. I could just like list three D&D characters I played.
I know one of them that you played.
What did I play?
You played Bartleby Crinklecut.
Oh, Bartleby Crinklecut was good. That's probably my best one. Didn't even last that long.
Yeah, I wish that would have went longer.
Yeah, me too. That was unfortunate.
We had a good character team.
We did. Maybe we'll figure out a way to bring them back somewhere. I don't think that what happened there really even counts.
Yeah, played like three times. And
it's like
then,
a dream.
Yeah. And then they woke up, and then their real adventure starts.
Yeah.
But we'll bring them back.
They had a mutual dream because they're twins. Mm-hmm. Bartleby and Bergamot Crinklecut.
Yep. They're identical twins.
Potato siblings. They grow potato. Didn't you have like a magical potato?
I did. It was my holy symbol. I carved it out of a magical potato.
Is that your number two character?
No. I only played her for like three times. She's probably number four though.
She's really good.
Yeah.
My number three character. I don't really have any. I don't remember anybody. I had someone named Evan. I don't remember his last name.
Some dude.
He was like a thief man. I don't think he was all that sneaky though.
Okay.
That's all. I literally don't remember my D&D characters. All
right. You want to hear my number two?
I could probably go find their character sheets somewhere.
My number two character is Olaf the Mad Monk.
Uh-huh.
Who I named my Twitter after and all of my internet stuff. He was an evil monk, because we had an evil party. And
this is Evan.
That's Evan?
Yeah. Oh, I have a painted minifig of Evan.
Nice. So he was a mad monk, and he was a cannibal, and he filed his teeth down, he wore black robes, and he smelled real bad. But he was evil. And at one point, he failed a horror check when he saw something from beyond, and then every time... Like, he would get stressed out, he would dig a hole.
Oh. Okay.
So he would just start digging.
Sure, why not?
But he liked to eat. And then he's the one who had followers.
Mm-hmm.
He had a bunch of, like, people, like, neophytes that were following his religion.
Mm-hmm.
And they were at one point, one of the, like, the thief that was in the party just said, get your little nut friends out of here. And then they were just called the nut friends after that.
Sure, why not?
And then they started writing the Book of the Nut Friends and just following me around. And just, it was like a religious text.
Okay. My number two is this other character I have a figurine of. I don't even remember her name, but she was a warlock. She was the first D&D character I played. And,
She's got a stick and a knife.
She's got a wand.
Oh, is that a wand?
Yeah, it's a wand. A wand and a staff.
Hmm. That's for doubled magics.
Yeah, she was really magic-y.
Two-handed magic.
She used the stars, like power of the stars to do magic. She'd pull power from the stars.
Specific ones?
All of them.
Just every one?
Yeah, like the stars. You know about the stars.
Right, I know, but I thought she would know them. Like
she probably
specific,
did.
Specific stars would give different powers.
No, it was
like
never
Like Sirius
anything.
Would turn her into a dog.
It was never anything that great.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. It's really disappointing. It was 4th edition. It was bullshit. I hated 4th edition. I'll do my number one first, because it's not going to be as interesting as yours. My number one,
my
I
goodness.
Also don't remember their name, is the one that we played in Ragnar's campaign, where I made bug noises, and then they just believed that I was speaking to them in bug, and we got out of there. I don't even remember what
class your character was.
I don't either.
I remember
that she wouldn't
was.
Kill anybody, though.
You were a cleric.
I tied people up a lot.
You were a cleric.
Yeah.
Because you were lawful good, and you're like, we're not going to kill anybody. Yeah. So none of us killed anybody.
Yeah, we only tied people up or knocked them unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
Except that one time where I think you guys killed somebody.
Oh, no. Yeah. I made everybody get in a battle because I cast friendship on the orcs and made us go past there.
Yeah,
and then they figured it out figured and came out. After
yeah,
us.
Yeah, I remember that part. But no, I remember particularly just making bug-esque noises, and then I could speak bug for a minute to get us past the bug people, and they like didn't notice.
I'm trying to remember what my character's name was. It was a wizard. Was it Magnus?
Could be. I have literally no idea.
Magnus is not. It sounds something like that.
I already know your number one character, but tell the world.
Barlow. It's gotta be Barlow.
Yeah.
He was the best.
He was really good at cleaning one square of space.
He was a sorcerer who wouldn't.
No, it was 1 square foot or
yeah,
one
square? One cubic foot.
1 cubic foot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Prestidigitation. He refused to hurt
he
anyone.
He didn't even last that long, which was really sad. We didn't get to play that campaign very long.
Yeah,
moved,
but
basically.
He was great. I liked our characters in that one too.
They were good. I liked the characters in that one better than the characters in the one before. Honestly, I liked the ones in the one before because I just got so used to
them. It was just basic, but you know, I was a fighter.
Yeah.
Oriole.
Yeah. But it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
You were a gay fighter.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that. And you really cared about your fashion.
I did.
But you weren't very good at it. You had, like, really ugly clothes, but
no,
you decided
that was
high fashion.
That was the fashion.
Do we have a snack?
I had a tailor named Taylor.
You did have a tailor named Taylor. What? Do we have a snack?
We have some cookies.
No, we don't.
We had a whole bunch of cookies
I made,
earlier.
Like, 50 cookies yesterday, and we've eaten them all.
Robert had some, too.
Robert had, like, 10.
Yeah. We gave him a bag full of them and sent
him
on his way.
Yeah, I should have given him more.
You just gave him the tiniest bag.
I know. I should have given him more.
That's our snack, though. Our no-bake cookies that we've already eaten.
We have ice cream.
Oh, we do have
we
ice cream.
We shouldn't eat it, but we're going to.
Yeah, go get it.
All right. What kind of ice cream is it? You tell me about it.
I don't remember, but there was 3 bars. That's why I bought it, because there was 3 of them.
Oh.
And there was 3 of us. And I'm like, this is the perfect amount of ice cream for 3 people.
It would have been, yeah. I'm sorry. I got real mad about it because I was like, I want to make these cookies, though.
Yeah, well, you did. And now we have ice cream for today. And I have one for later.
There's a bar.
It's Häagen-Dazs brand.
Uh-huh.
It's spelled H-A with an umlaut. Häagen-Dazs.
I think everybody knows about Häagen-Dazs here.
I don't know what it means, but it sounds German.
It's not really a new concept.
Does it sound, is it German or is it like Dutch?
Häagen-Dazs?
It sounds German.
It does sound German.
What flavor is it? I don't know. It doesn't say on here.
Chocolate, dark chocolate, almond.
Chocolate and also dark chocolate and also almond. I'm going to take a bite of it and tell you what I think. Oh, it's cold.
Uh-huh.
It's made of ice.
Yeah.
Oh, good though. Oh.
You know that it's ice cream, right?
Mm-hmm. It's hard to eat it on a podcast because it fills your whole mouth up for a while.
Does it?
Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to talk.
Maybe you're eating too much.
I just take a bite of it.
This is 4 bites. It's gotta take smaller bites.
So yeah. Thanks for...
It's a little bitter. Like in
it's
a
like
dark chocolate way.
Thank you for listening to our D&D podcast today.
Yeah.
Oh, you dropped it.
Oh. Let's do a quick Doctor Who check-in. It's getting worse.
I don't know. I'm into this.
I think the season started off strong, and it's gone downhill.
No. I think I like what's happening right now. It feels like this whole part of the season is like one storyline.
Well, it is.
I know, but I like that. Like, I'm sure I
just
like
don't
one
have
shots.
Any, like, I don't have any confidence based on past experience that this is going to end in any sensible way.
Right.
That's my fear.
He didn't get out of the cock-a-doodle car. That's the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kathy Bates in Misery summed up the problem with Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen Moffat's writing.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the movie Misery, you should really watch it because it's one of the best Stephen King movies.
You might want to turn your head a few times, though.
Just when
If she when if, she takes out the sledgehammer, if, just listen.
Yeah,
don't
if there's a sledgehammer, just avert your eyes for a minute.
Yeah.
They only show the first one.
No, they show both. Really?
They don't show the second one.
They don't show either one on TV.
Yeah, but the first one, you see it, but the second one, you hear it.
Yeah.
And you see his reaction to it.
In the book, it's an axe.
Uh-huh. But, yeah, Misery, it's good.
So that's a Doctor Who check-in. Also, American Gods is really good, and you should watch it if you have access to
it. I feel like it's true to the book, but there's extra stuff.
You do not have to be familiar with the book at all.
Uh-huh.
I've read the book. I don't really remember
it.
Yeah,
I read
it
15 years ago.
I mean, I only read it a couple of years ago. I don't remember it, but you don't need to.
I remember there's a leprechaun in the book.
Yeah.
And then he shows up in the first episode, and you're like, oh yeah, I remember there's a leprechaun.
I remember there's like a spider or something. That's it.
There's a spider?
There's also a frozen pond in the middle of the winter in, like, Minnesota.
No, we didn't get there yet,
or
though.
Wisconsin. Somewhere in the Midwest.
It was in Minnesota.
Was it?
I feel like it was Minnesota.
I thought it was Wisconsin.
Oh, it might be Wisconsin.
It doesn't matter.
Somewhere over there in the upper Midwest where it gets cold.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a really good show. Highly recommend it. Makes sense. Well told.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good acting.
Yeah. I like the shadow is good. Mr. Wednesday.
I keep expecting Shadow's face to look different than how it is.
And one thing you need to remember is that Shadow likes marshmallows.
Does he like marshmallows?
That's my favorite part in the show so far.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Wednesday buys him hot chocolate, and he's like, "You like marshmallows, don't you?" And he's real mad. He's like, "Yeah, I like marshmallows." All right, that's it. Goodbye.
Wait, that's it?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay.
It stopped working.
It's fine. It's working just fine.
Oh, no, it didn't.
Don't hit an X.
All right.
Anyway. Podcast statistics.
I like marshmallows.
It's the end of the podcast. We ran out of stuff to talk about. It's the end of the podcast. Okay, bye.